The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Now, there's nothing worse than when you're in the water and you lose the hot water.
Yeah.
Well, if
that's
we get
bad.
Three people taking a shower here, we lose hot water. But that's everywhere if you've got a regular tank.
That's some men's fantasy.
What's that?
Three people taking a shower.
No, I'm talking about two separate showers.
Yeah.
Two showers, three people having to get in there and do that.
Excuse me.
One right after the other after the other. But the one
wouldn't be, shower, though.
If you're in the O'Mara shower. Maddie, you got a huge family. Growing up in that family. Now, I know you weren't always the mayor's daughter. You probably had a relatively average suburban home. What was the showering situation
she
was with
you? She was born into the mayorship.
Yeah, and they lived in Gracie
Mansion. You were born into the mayorship?
I've always been this way, Mike.
Really?
I don't know any other life.
You were born royalty?
I was.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello!
Hello!
Isn't that a wonderful face to wake up to?
To open... Oh, let me start this.
Yeah, you got to do that. I thought his video had locked for a second.
Yeah, I was like, something wrong?
Yeah. Better.
to start the show today, a little misogyny, because why not? For the guys out there. For those of you that might be on a well or have... a water source that is, I think everybody's got hot water heaters. There's some people that have those super space age ones that heat the water when
tankless,
it comes to the
Mike,
house.
Tankless.
Yeah. Tankless, thank you.
Yeah. The wealthy. Like my brother.
Yeah, it's a tankless job. And also, right. Before people write in, we know that it's really just a water heater because it's not a hot water heater. So shut up before you write.
Bite me with that.
People are like that, though.
But... Is there, God, this is so misogynistic, but I have to say it.
All right.
Is there a rule, and does anyone ever experience this, where if you happen to be, these are shower disputes. If anybody that lives in a relatively small home, if you have more than one person in there, you have probably issues with who's going to take a shower first?
Yes.
Who's not going to take a shower?
Shan takes a bath before me. I'm cooked. I got a cold shower every morning.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
So when you're getting ready, especially when you have guests in the house, it's kind of who's going to use the shower first. When my mom was religious about it as far as really almost would put out a schedule about it because we have my sister and me and my mom and my dad. And so especially like on weekends, if you're getting together with people and family and stuff like that, and you want to make sure you're ready.
Take a shower now so there's hot water later.
Yeah, let it regenerate.
The simple act of taking a shower, is there any other male, because here I am making it a male-female thing.
Sure.
Is there a requirement that when you are the first person in the morning to jump in the shower, which, quite often I am because I get up and we do the show in the morning and I jump in the shower. And so this morning I jump in the shower. Is there a requirement that or a chip that goes off in certain wives' brains that when the husband jumps in the shower, that's the time where she's going to run her load of laundry and the shower is going to go from, hi, here's an invigorating morning shower to, hello, here's the fluctuating. That's the situation.
So the water goes from spray to falling out of the nozzle.
Yeah. I spent like 5 years ago a lot of time with plumbers and everything on this shower to get the shower that I wanted up here. And, you know, is it perfect? No, but it's pretty damn fine.
Right,
but
you optimized.
Still is affected by a... and so I'm sitting there, and I remember turning the shower on this morning and looking at the spray coming out and going, that's a fine shower. That's a fine shower.
You see that?
And
yeah.
And then I go over to the sink.
Right.
I grab a towel. I nakedly waddle back.
Yeah. Check yourself out in the mirror.
Fine.
No. I did today from the not my private area, but I was kind of looking at my body.
Yes, your trunk.
From the stomach up, and doing what I always do. I kind of look at it and I go.
Yep.
And then so I make my way over to the shower, and then
I feel you, Mike.
5 minutes into the shower, it just goes, and I'm like, "What's happening?" And you can't scream because it's all already done. But I was wondering if I feel as though there's a thing where women like when you're in the shower, they want to use all the water.
Mm.
They want to do it at that particular time.
Do you think
there
it's
are multiple
subconscious
times during the day that other items could be used? That dishes could be washed.
Mm-hmm.
Or women could do dishes or laundry. But that
I disagree. I disagree.
Oh God!
And I'll tell you why. Because
bastard.
I'm the guy that I would say 2 years ago was upset that my wife, every time I had to use the bathroom, she would use it before me, just right away. And then you guys pointed out that
I
only have one bathroom. So that
that's
would
right.
make
that
sense.
That happens to me. We have an upstairs one bathroom up here.
Yeah.
By the way, in the loft converted to a bedroom. And who invented the goddamn loft anyway?
Sydney you Loft.
Know? Who's it? Was that some
skinny
Rob,
people?
Wasn't that some cheap construction ploy? The loft.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Right?
Yeah.
The loft. Well, we could put a room with a door.
I would love
instead,
a loft.
We're going to put stairs. What's that?
I said, I would love a loft. Sounds beautiful and glorious.
I know.
He'll
I know.
Take
yeah.
anything.
Yeah. So I stopped being upset at Shannon because she would get right in the bath. She goes, let me go first. And I'm like, oh, God. Like
and they go fast.
They
at
go
least
fast.
Every
fine.
Woman I've ever known
fine.
Goes fast
it's
like
fine.
A rabbit.
Fine. it seems to me that you have a water pressure issue.
Well, no, but the water pressure, if you're not running I will not be able to fix that. I know I'm not, because I'm not bringing up a main plumber up here that'll be
maybe
3 hours
ago. You can find out on YouTube.
But you know, Mike, bright side, at least it's not a hot water issue. Now, there's nothing worse than when you're in the water and you lose the hot water.
Yeah.
Well, if
that's
we get
bad.
Three people taking a shower here, we lose hot water. But that's everywhere if you've got a regular tank.
That's some men's fantasy.
What's that?
Three people taking a shower.
No, I'm talking about two separate showers.
Yeah.
Two showers. Yeah. Three people having to get in there and do that.
Excuse me.
One right after the other after the other. But the one
wouldn't be, a stall shower, though.
If you're in the O'Mara shower. If you're in the O'Mara shower. And by the way, showers my whole life. My whole life showers. I mean, with different homes and stuff. I've lived on this planet a long time. And oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have mentioned his last name.
Should we bleep that out?
Feel the owner internet. Of a house that I lived in.
Yeah.
I always said, how did he fit in that shower?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized when I bought the shower, he didn't, because I didn't. And do you remember in the Manassas house that I replaced
I
the shower there?
Uh-huh.
Same thing up here.
Yeah.
What the hell is it with people? I mean, it's just like, I don't mind you getting the prefab Home Depot shower.
Mm-hmm. It comes in a box, right.
It comes in a box, but get the big
fitter.
One.
It's here for you.
What you need, great. Mike, is a beautiful tub with feet.
I don't like that.
Old-fashioned tub.
No, there are tons of houses like that up here.
Mm-mm.
There are tons of houses. Mm-mm. I don't like a bath doesn't work. And a ye old bath, William Howard Taft bathtub, doesn't work any better.
Asking for an accident.
Because it's raised up on claw feet.
I know.
Kind of hated that.
The slippery floor. Bad.
Do you type of baths? I feel like they wouldn't support.
The house you were in when you came to visit up here. In my house that I used to own.
Yes, your family home.
That I was kicked out of. The house that I used to
own.
That I was
kicked out of.
In a way, I was. Let's be honest.
You can certainly
really
urge him to
move out.
What
I don't want to be a part of this anymore. And they were like,
really?
Oh, boy.
Tell
all
me it's
went
not
up
like
there
that.
As
of course it
we all went up to Maine into your your family's home that had been there for many years. Yeah. And it was back when the show was much bigger, so there were lots of us staying there. Showering was an issue then.
From the end of the 19th century.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And luckily, one of the people that was with us was Rob Ford, so he didn't figure into the showering issue. But everyone else, there
remember
was...
that.
I do too. They
put together equipment. It's like,
what is that?
You said... What did you say to Rob? You said, hey, big man to big man, we got a shower.
But there was showering in your family home, your turn of the century home, was definite shift work. It had to be spaced out throughout the day because there was a lot of people being underserved.
Then they built someone like years and years ago, maybe 30 years ago,
right?
Built a shower, and that still sucked. There's something with showers up here in New England. There's something with hygiene up here in New England.
I have to be honest
with you.
You're painting with a broad brush now.
No, I am. I am. I'm talking about like the shower thing is not job one. You go to these places. I rented one up here where the shower. It's like, excuse me. I'm not Gumby. I what am I supposed to do? Shower like with 1 inch of square. You know, come on.
Isn't the bay? God shower.
Oh, what's that?
The bay.
Frenchman's Bay.
Yeah, you can go to Frenchman's Bay.
No, you're covered with salt and you could get urine on you from foreign countries.
That's true. And also lobster urine.
That's the way I've always looked at the ocean. You're really, you're not going in any real clean area.
It was invigorating.
I mean, that's the way it looks. I mean, you get out of the ocean, you got a film on you.
Yeah, so ask Maddie. She knows this from this past weekend.
Maddie, you got a huge family. You got a huge family. Growing up, in that family. Now, I know you weren't always the mayor's daughter. You probably had a relatively average suburban home. What was the showering situation?
She was born into the mayorship.
Yeah, and they lived in Gracie
Mansion. I've
always been this way, Mike.
Really?
I don't know any other life.
You were born royalty?
I was. Yeah.
How are the digs? Did your dad as the mayor, because like most cities, What do you want now? Oh, yeah. Ponyboy writes, Rob is connected and looking solid. That's great connectivity up here in Maine to finally get that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And that was a text for Monday, so that's great.
Maddie, most mayors live in their like own home, so you didn't get a mayor's residence,
No, it's our own house. I'm trying to think. I can't remember any issues with that house, but I know whenever we're at my grandma's, she lives in like the sticks, and it's a super old house, and we all have to plan showers throughout the day whenever there's more than three people, which is a hassle for sure.
Carla, you can yell because I know you don't want to come on camera. Did you run a load of wash when I jumped in the shower this morning? Like when I got up, you got up after me, and I immediately went into the bathroom, went into the shower. Actually, technically, you got up because you took Winslow out. I know that. Did you run a load of laundry at that point? Thank you. Okay. Thanks. Have a good day. But it was
such a loving yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it wasn't. No. There wasn't a drop of love in that. Yeah. Yeah.
I did your wash.
Yes, I did your wash.
I did your wash.
Pig.
Would it kill you to put it in the dryer?
Well, if we can talk about misogyny just for a second. Yesterday, right. Charlie Burney, you know him well.
Charlie Burney.
So there was this big like underground, and this is when you know you have first world problems and when you're bored and you have nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
So Charlie Burney was kind enough to send everyone a coffee cake, right? Remember the whole thing? The coffee cake gate.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that was my. I have to be point on that.
No. I don't think you were the only person. So
okay, Charlie. Make a long story short. Charlie Burney, who runs everything at Podcast Village, sent coffee cakes out with notes like, "I'd love to chat sometime," and I thought something was wrong.
Well, Maddie also thought
she was
getting.
I scared him away, and I haven't heard from him since.
Remember, Maddie thought she was getting fired as well.
Yeah, remember, Mike. No good deed goes unpunished.
Okay,
it was really just him trying to be nice.
I literally got that coffee cake, and in my mind, I hear this conversation. Mike, it's really been a nice experiment, you know, working with you guys, but I just, and then I hear Dick Katz from Katz Creative Decorating when I was fired when I was 16 saying, but generally things haven't worked out.
The sentiment was in the right, like his mindset was he wanted to help.
Yep.
Now, throughout that coffee cake gate incident, I had realized that I never received a coffee cake. Everyone else, including I never got one. And it didn't matter to me, but everyone was saying how great this coffee cake was.
So it was delicious.
Really nice. Here are the two obese fat immediately go, it was good, in my mouth. Rob ate it when it was halfway out of the mailbox.
Had to fight Robert for it, but I got my share.
Yeah, you had to fight Robert for it. Look at Robert and look at you, okay? Who wins that fight?
I guess ultimately he'll win.
How about next time give him all of it?
So
when you're in a box, he can help himself.
In a very sweet manner, Charlie sent a little gift basket. Because I think someone made a joke about it, like, hey, how come Oscar and Shannon didn't get a coffee cake?
Right.
And he's like, oh, like, and it was, that was all it was. So he sent, because Charlie's been working from home, we're social distancing as much as we can, and he's been coming in for a couple of shows he works on, he hosts. He sent this basket with all these snacks. So I've been sharing the snacks with Maddie and Shannon and everybody else. And the beer nuts are something that I just felt like, they're not going to want any of that. Like, I'm going to eat the beer nuts. I'm good.
He sent you beer nuts?
It was a basket full of snacks. Pretzels.
That he sent you instead of a coffee cake?
Yes. Which was very sweet.
Could you let us know what was in the basket? Because I'm kind of curious.
So they had... these artisanal pretzels. They had these like fancy chocolates. It had these like really high-end beer nuts I'd never seen anywhere else.
Was it in response to the fact that he didn't send you a coffee cake? Did he realize it and this is a make good?
I think it is.
Okay, that's understandable.
But it's nothing that I wasn't ringing the bell, I need a coffee cake.
Right.
I think somebody just had mentioned, hey, Oscar, what did you think of the coffee cake? I was like, oh, I didn't get one. Just like a throwaway. That was it. That was enough.
It was a non-cake.
And
are you okay? What's with
something was in my water. Something like gelatinous was in my water. Oh. Jesus Christ, what was that?
Maybe a Tide Pod?
I have no idea.
Tide Pod! Maybe when Carla did the laundry, she put a Tide Pod in your water. She said, what is this, liquid IV?
I interrupted you.
No worries.
Okay. So artisanal beer nuts.
Yeah, we've got some spiced crackers, water crackers, ginger snaps.
He's a generous guy. That's very nice.
Like super, he went all out. And I'm eating the beer nuts, no big deal. I leave the can almost empty. Maybe I had four beer nuts left of a can. Right next to my workstation. And Shannon, I hear from the other room, walk over to my workstation. Thought she's going to pick up a form that I had to sign or something like that I had signed for her. And she's like, damn it! Maddie, why do guys do this? And I'm like, what's the problem? She goes, why would you leave an empty can of beer nuts just sitting right there? And then Maddie, in the sweetest way possible, she goes, I know. Why do they do that? When it's done, just throw it away. Why would you just leave it there?
Okay, so they've got their thing about us. That's legitimate. Matt, that's completely legit.
Why did you, remember, I'm your ally. She's not.
Right.
Why did you jump to the enemy's line?
I'm just here to speak the truth. And there is nothing that pisses me off more when I see something and then I'm like excited, right? I'm like, all right, I'm going to eat this. I'm going to snack. It's snack time. And then I go and it's empty. It's like heartbreak.
Yeah, but Oscar himself said there was four nuts left. That's not empty.
No, there were four nuts left.
Yeah, there were.
There were four nuts left.
Mike, there am four nuts left.
How did you get magna cum laude? How did you get that?
VCU.
How did you get magna cum laude when you can't speak English properly?
It was VCU, and the checks cleared, and they said, thank you, sir. Here's your piece of paper. Good night.
Still a miracle to
Mike.
I swear to God. Four nuts left. But if they see the can, Rob, on the side, and they're coming up to it, you didn't leave the can with the plastic cover on it with four nuts.
I did.
I got to jump.
I'm with the ladies on this one.
Really?
Yeah, all the way. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. You leave, you put it down, you neatly put the cover back on, and you leave it on a desk like there it is for everybody to have a little sample.
You know what? When you put the lid on it, you take it to the next level of trickery.
Right.
Because what you've done is you've definitely misled them.
I honestly didn't think twice about it. I was like, I'll throw this away in a bit. But Maddie, the way that she pounced on your boy, I was like, man, I haven't seen this side of Maddie Because she never talks about John like in a detailed manner. Does John do this on a regular basis?
Yeah, all the time. It's caused a lot of rifts in our relationship.
Yeah. But I think it's a guy thing.
After 3 years, he's learned a little bit.
Because I think men, and this might be the nature of the biology of being the hunter-gatherer, will sit there and stuff and gorge until they are sated.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. If they are not sated, they could be conceivably, you could have 3 or 4 nuts left and be sated.
And just say,
that's it, I'm out of gas. Put the cover on it and push it off to the side, never to be seen again.
I got to counterpoint that, Mike. I would never leave that minuscule. I would finish it. I'd have to finish it. If it was only 4 nuts.
I get that.
Like, what is a single serving of Ben & Jerry's ice cream? It's whatever is there. That's how much you eat. You eat the pint.
The pint is, by the way, has anybody, I'll ask the two thinner mm-hmm. people here, Maddie or Oscar, or Pony, for example, mm-hmm. have you ever popped open the pint of ice cream and just, taken a couple of scoops and not finished it?
I usually don't sit there outside of Heartbreak. You've seen me.
Yeah, and that was a quart. Entire
yeah, yes, yes.
That was a quart, I remember specifically.
I would say I get two or three spoonfuls, and then I'm good.
Because it wasn't Ben & Jerry's, it was Baskin Robbins, right?
Jamocha fudge.
Yeah, almond Jamocha fudge.
Jamocha fudge. Jamocha fudge. Yeah.
The taste of heartbreak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it was Maddie, fun to watch.
But do you look at a pint of like Ben & Jerry's as that's a serving of Ben & Jerry's?
No, I always scoop some out and then just eat it from a dish because I will eat the whole thing, and that's just not good.
No, it's not good.
See, for so I do is, have to Rob. Have some self-control.
There it is. See, I mean, the idea of Ben & Jerry's not needing a dish. I mean, never. You know, it's just there. That's it.
I appreciate the way it is in the COVID. Pint. God bless you, Mike.
Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. You just yell COVID as you sneeze.
Yeah, yell COVID as I sneeze.
I think that's a new tradition. Let's do that. Anytime we sneeze on air, we'll have to yell COVID.
Hey, Pony, I hear you giggling in the background.
Yes, that's right. You know, for me, a pint of ice cream is like at least 2 or 3 months worth of ice cream. Like, I can't do that at once.
2 or 3 months. That's
exactly.
It. You know,
it'll
we
last
really,
long enough we, to design a third of a website.
Yeah, that's rations.
If we compared notes, Rob, it would probably be, speak to the way we eat, which is not, but I've always considered the pint to be, I go to the store, buy a pint. That's
car,
not a shareable item. I'm getting
and
that.
And then you get another one.
That's for you.
Just
and
to
also,
show the family.
Also, well, if I wanted to share the family, I'd buy something that would stay in the freezer. Like the other day, Julia requested non-dairy Cherry Garcia. That's had a long... I've not tasted it.
Oh, it's fantastic. I love the non-dairy Ben & Jerry's. I love that stuff. It's absolutely...
Let's hurry up and finish the show then.
The non-dairy... I'm fasting, so...
Mike.
You got to remember at this time, it's 9:30, okay? Mike. My body right now... My stomach's going...
Mike, you have to share... And I'm sure Rob was here, but when you were in Key West before the pandemic...
Yes.
The way that you went to... Was it Fry's or one of the grocery stores, and you bought a pint for the car, and then you brought a pint home and looked at Carl and said, I'll have a little later. Like, you played it off.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the way that you ate the pint was gold.
I ate the pint. I did not have a utensil. So I ate the pint with my front teeth. I scraped
like a beaver.
And I pulled like a beaver. I ate the pint like an ice cream cone.
Like a wood planer. Like a wood planer against your mouth with curls of deliciousness coming out of the sawdust
Because
ice cream.
We were visiting my sister Kathy and my brother-in-law Paul, who are what are we having for dinner? We're having AP. AP. cut it up in thirds. So that's what the house was like. And I was sitting there and, you know, I was trying to get my eat on. And I did that. And then I got, I think it was maybe that non-dairy coconut cluster thing that they have, which is fantastic. Thank you, Sean Greenwood.
Coconut is really good in ice cream. It's a good ingredient.
Oh, my God. So I ate it like that. And then you can only do so much before you get to the cardboard. And then I bit the cardboard and tore the cardboard down a little bit. And I kind of manipulated with one, because you're eating one-handed, because I'm not going to slow down. I needed to get back. I was way out of Key West.
Was it not melting at a rate where you could sort of like sip a little bit, let it melt, sip, melt,
I had
sip,
the air
melt.
Conditioning on in the car, so it
wasn't horribly.
And by the way, the Ben & Jerry's, because, you know, it is a mass-produced ice cream, I think perhaps a slightly less intense melt point than some of the ice cream you get up here. Yeah, oh, Giffords, by the way, is the main ice cream that's manufactured, yeah, mass-produced up here. And Giffords has a melt point where, you know, you walk it from the window to the car, and you could have a puddle on your hand.
lot of air in there. A lot of air in there.
Well, no, air density is what the melt... I could do ice cream. Wait, we could have Sean talk about
it. What do you mean, this melt point?
Rob's talking about cheaper ice creams have maybe more air.
More air whipped in.
Cheaper ice creams have less air whipped in.
Got it.
Right?
No, it's fat. The cheaper ice creams have more air.
The cheaper ice creams have more air in them.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that causes them to melt faster because they're less dense.
How would you guys know what a melt point is? Isn't it something you just dive in and get it over with, you're done?
No, but I mean, what Rob's saying, if they whip more air into the ice cream, that means that it is less dense, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Are you researching it?
I'm air and ice cream.
No, density is that means it's going to melt.
This is science now.
It's going to melt faster because it's got more of the cream and the fat.
I thought if it was dense, it would last longer.
I'll give you an example. Your soft serve Dairy Queen isn't going to melt as fast Ben and Jerry's cone.
True. Or about
because there's more air in it, Rob. That's why.
Did you know that there's air makes up 30-50% of most ice cream volume? I didn't realize it was that high. It's called the overrun.
They whip it in. That's it. Mm-hmm. A Haagen-Dazs, less air. A Ben & Jerry's, less air. How did we get on ice cream?
Jesus Christ. Someone listening to this right now is like, oh, if it's just air, I can eat as much as I want.
This whole discussion started. That's what's great about this show. The show is, we are Seinfeld. It's about nothing. The show started about a washing machine and a shower, and now we're talking about density. Did you find any information there? Because you're confusing everybody.
No, I don't mean to confuse you. If you've ever had a bowl of ice cream melt, then refroze it and tried to eat it later, it probably didn't taste very good.
Yeah, why does that happen?
Because when ice cream is frozen, it's agitated because it's being stirred as it freezes. That's how the air gets into it. Right. So it's likely going to taste too sweet if you refreeze it without agitation, or as it's known, Mike, in the business, quiescently frozen. Frozen without agitation.
But that doesn't answer the question about density.
I'm trying to find it right now.
Just look up Google density in ice cream.
Okay.
That's how you do it. I'll do it.
I've got it from Penn State University.
Oh, they have the creamery up there. That's a big deal. They love their ice cream at Penn State. They have a dairy program. at Penn State, and they have an ice cream parlor on campus that makes incredible ice cream.
Okay, how about this? While you look, and maybe Rob can play along here as we pass.
Sure, go ahead.
Amount of air also has a huge effect on the density of ice cream. A gallon of ice cream must weigh at least 4.5 pounds, making the minimum density 0.54 gram per millimeter. Better brands have higher densities.
Damn!
Thank you.
Damn.
But if it's higher density, wouldn't it have less air? Because the air is not dense. Air is actually making it fluff.
That's what I said. But you mentioned air, lots of air, when I talked about the melt. So the higher density is going to melt, too.
Okay. All right.
Higher density of ice cream is going to melt faster. Do you understand that?
I do. But I also think that the more fat that's in there, it's going to, if it's got higher butter fat, and I'm confusing the overrun with the fat content. That's where I went wrong.
How dare you?
But I think more fat is going to stay frozen longer.
The Penn State, you're absolutely right, Rob, about Penn State here. This is amazing. I didn't even know this was up there. How'd you know about this? Does everybody know about this?
Well, Brad's family is a Penn State family, so I know a little bit about the school.
Okay, the larger the structure of ice cream, the longer it takes the flavor molecules to be released. One side effect of adding a lot of air to ice cream is that it tends to... Oh, Rob's right.
Oh, snap! Twist.
I have to eat my words right now. When he's right, he's right. One side effect of adding a lot of air to ice cream is that it tends to melt more quickly. That would follow because the Giffords is the mass-produced ice cream, and that's with less air.
You see, and I think what happens is that ice cream, one of the big qualifiers for like the boutique high-quality ice creams is weight. Because, you know, a pint of ice cream is a pint of ice cream is a pint. But if it's a denser ice cream, it's going to weigh more. And that's a sign of a premium ice cream. As I recall. What were you saying about Penn State?
Penn State Creamery gives you a breakdown of which flavors melt the fastest.
Oh, okay. What's the fastest?
It's telling you that chocolate melted the fastest, followed by pineapple toasted coconut, and finally strawberry sorbet took the longest to melt.
Sorbet, Sorbet took the longest to melt.
That's what they're telling me, man.
Wow. Now, here's another answer. Does density affect the melting rate of ice cream? It isn't a major factor in determining melting point. Here is a table of compounds. Oh, bite me.
Science. Okay. Who has time for that?
Right. How does density affect? Oh boy, they're not. We're not the first ones that have asked about this.
No, Mike. There's a lot of very concerned fat people out there, and they're writing. Yeah.
Anything about covalent bonds?
Yeah, I invested in them.
Before we get out of here, I
got a high yield.
Keep talking about yourself. I have one more question.
Also, Oscar, if you go to Penn State, you can also buy cheese curds. That's another thing they sell up there.
Yum.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a beautiful campus. Unfortunately, it's had a few bad years. Mm. You know, a lot of times they've got that Nittany Lion statue. That's their.
I've actually been there.
Yeah, the ear has been stolen off the statue. Which
not
I think
not
is
eaten, just stolen.
No. Just stolen by, you know, disgruntled people.
I said, what ice cream brand melts the fastest? They're saying the brand of ice cream that melted the most is Great Value. That's the Walmart brand. Then Breyers, then Haagen-Dazs.
Mm.
This doesn't matter at all. I'm completely wrong with this.
Well, I think Haagen-Dazs is a little overrated anyway. Haagen-Dazs was not, you're supposed to think it's like imported from Germany as a beautiful, wonderful thing.
I thought it was a French chocolate.
It's delicious, though. It's very
yummy. It's good ice cream, but, you know, it was targeted to sound that way. It's an American brand.
It is?
They fooled you.
Just like the Frappuccino?
Exactly. Huh. Frappuccino, no matter what it is.
It looks like you're using an ad blocker. Yes, I am. You. Jesus Christ.
Is that what it looks like?
That's I'm so gonna go. Funny.
Oh, does it look like that? What does this look like? All right. Thank you. Just flipped him off. We can start the show now, for God's sake. I don't want to talk about
it's
ice cream.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I'm a modern man, a man for the millennium. Digital and smoke-free. A diversified, multicultural, postmodern deconstructionist, politically, anatomically, and ecologically incorrect. I've been uplinked and downloaded. I've been inputted and outsourced. I know the upside of downsizing. I know the downside of upgrading. I'm a high-tech lowlife, a cutting-edge, state-of-the-art, bi-coastal multitasker, and I can give you a gigabyte in a nanosecond. I'm new wave, but I'm old school, and my inner child is outward bound. I'm a hot-wired, heat-seeking, warm-hearted, cool customer, voice-activated and biodegradable. I interface with my database is in cyberspace, so I'm interactive, I'm hyperactive, and from time to time, I'm radioactive. I bought a microwave at a mini mall. I bought a minivan at a megastore. I eat fast food in the slow lane. I'm toll-free, bite-sized, ready-to-wear, and I come in all sizes. A fully equipped, factory-authorized, hospital-tested, clinically proven, scientifically formulated medical miracle. I've been pre-washed, pre-cooked, pre-heated, pre-screened, pre-approved, pre-packaged, post-dated, freeze-dried, double-wrapped, vacuum-packed, and I have an unlimited broadband capacity. I'm a rude dude, but I'm the real deal. Lean and mean, cocked, locked, and ready to rock. Rough, tough, and hard to bluff. I take it slow. I go with the flow. I ride with the tide. I got glide in my stride. Driving and moving, sailing and spinning, jiving and grooving, wailing and winning. I don't snooze, so I don't lose. I keep the pedal to the metal and the rubber on the road. I party hardy, and lunchtime is crunch time. I'm hanging in, there ain't no doubt, and I'm hanging tough, over and out.
Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now,
from his easy chair, here's Mike.
When I hear that piece of tape from the greatest comedian ever in the history of comedy, in my humble opinion, Mr. George Carlin, I always think that live audience, when I hear that tape, it always annoys me. I'd hate to be the guy that's sitting next to the guy that has to go, as soon as he starts that has to go, woo!
Exactly. Yeah.
Woo! Because he's too stupid or high to realize that George Carlin's doing something special, and you should just let back in.
Yeah, let
you
that
lay
happen.
Back and enjoy the art, right?
As you know? I was producing that tape, Mike, I had the same thought. It's like, that is not something that's being read. That is one take of a man who memorized that entire 98-second monologue. Shut up and listen to him do his craft.
Right.
This would be a great time for social distancing because he could do that on Zoom and everyone could just shut up.
Yeah. No, he's got to go, woo, and then get on his plane and go down to the golf tournament where he can go, you the man.
You the man, Tiger.
Get in the hole. I want to hear myself. Ha, ha, ha. Anyway, we are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., all the way from Drift-In Beach in Port Clyde, Maine. Wanaki, Wisconsin. How you doing there? How's
it going? Oh, yeah, sure.
You better wear a mask. Nah, we don't need no mask. Winter Haven, Florida. Historic Delano in Wichita, Kansas. Barrie in Ontario, Canada, where they seem to be doing it a little better than we are in the United States. And Tickle Naked Pond in East Reigate, Vermont. The Michael Mara Show is on now. And brought to you by Sunday. Now, we're having rain today. I'm going to let the lawn dry out, and then I treat my lawn with the Sunday product. They are a new company that we're telling you about, and they make taking care of your lawn easier than ever. Let me explain how it works. You get online with Sunday, and you send them your address. That's it.
That's
they
all.
Get an actual satellite view of your home. They analyze the soil, and then they send you a package that has everything you need to take care of your lawn. I went to their website, put in the home address. Their free lawn analysis tool did the rest. I mean, literally did it all. I didn't have to think. It was fantastic. They created my custom lawn plan based on my soil. The reason I'm waiting is because they tell me to wait. They're telling me the perfect time where I take what's included in the package, which is this little attachment, put it on the hose.
That's it.
And then spray my lawn with the Sunday product on it. 15 minutes changes your yard forever. With Sunday, it's as easy as attaching the included nozzle, sprayer, and watering your lawn. You don't need to know everything about soil, grass, micronutrients to have a great lawn. The agronomists at Sunday, they will do it for you.
Yep.
So if you're not 100% sure what your lawn needs to be green, no worries. Just get Sunday. I'm really excited about this company. You should be too. This is a summer treatment, by the way. A lot of people say spring, fall is when you do it. No, they sent me a Sunday summer treatment that I'll be doing this. And all you have to do is visit GetSunday.com. $20 off your summer plan when you use promo code TMOS at checkout. If you're looking at your lawn right now and going, I'd really like it to look better, that's GetSunday, GetSunday.com, promo code TMOS for $20 off your summer plan. GetSunday, a great way to do it, and they're environmentally friendly as well.
Love that,
so,
yeah.
Thank you very, very much. Yeah, you learn something every day on this show.
Quick,
Yes.
I'm sorry. Just quick heads up. If you see me disappear like this, Mike, that I am still here, but I'm just dealing with the Comcast guy that might come in and try to take us off the air.
Okay. Yes. You're doing some work in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that they don't do it till we're done with the show.
Is it related to the torrential thunderstorms yesterday? Because I know that the cable doesn't work good in D.C. when the roads are wet.
No, I actually fixed that. Remember, I got on the fire escape that's about to crumble and threw some Flex Seal tape right on there, so it shouldn't be getting wet anymore.
And, you know, I've actually visited with Oscar up on the roof before. I like when Oscar climbs. It's fun when Oscar, like, goes up on the roof. I remember the roof, you know, in the Podcast Village, the building is close to turn of the century, like 1911, I think. And I think it must have originally been a tarred roof, but it's flat.
There.
And up there, there's huge rubber linings that keep the building from leaking. And we went up there once, and there's like an inch and a half of standing water. Eight, nine, 10-foot puddles. And Oscar's like, hey, come up here. And okay. And you climb the steps, and you go up there.
You went up to the roof?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You climbed?
Well, I mean, it's a staircase.
It's got a staircase. They have an access point.
Okay.
You can walk the stairs.
But still, it was, if you can imagine a 9-foot puddle that's about an inch and a half deep that's already on a heavy rubber mat, and Oscar says, all we got to do is lift this. That's it. Well,
are you a Flex Seal guy, Oscar? Do you believe in the product?
Oh, Mike. Ask me how many times I've purchased the different iterations of Flex Seal, and I'll tell you.
I tried to use it. Can you tell me why? Okay, here's what I did.
Okay.
I got a dinghy with a hole in it, a hole right around the gasket. I sprayed the soapy water.
You know how painful that can be.
Oh, yeah, my penis. It's a penis joke. No, it's like what you row out to your boat. It's a little inflatable raft, basically. So this inflatable raft, I've got I spray the soapy water, and I see the bubbles coming up right around where the gasket is to fill it with air.
Yes.
And so I fill it up, and I get... I said, Flex Seal. I'll get that Flex Seal. So I spray it where the bubbles were. I wiped it down. Then I sprayed it with where the bubbles were. And I go out and I come back in about an hour. And it's still like gooey, nasty. How long does it take to
And the dinghy had dissolved.
The dinghy, it was like black paint. It was like black paint. What did I do wrong?
So there is the FlexSeal
can.
The FlexSeal family offers different types of solutions.
Get the can.
They have a paste that I think would probably be better for what you need.
Well, I
they
think have that job that cries tape. For the that cries for the tape.
They have a
because
tape.
The tape is what's most impressive on the TV spot.
Okay, so I've used both the spray. Mike, the spray was the first to come out where you'd spray the FlexSeal and he made the bullet out of it and then he'd be out there.
Sharks.
The spray worked for my neighbor's gutter when she had a rusted out gutter. And instead of replacing the whole thing, we got the same color FlexSeal and sprayed it. And then, it like you said, the goo, it adds up. And you're like, okay, will that hold? And from reading the can, I remember saying that you needed at least 12 hours or 8 hours
for it to set?
Yeah, before it set. I remember I had to look at the forecast and say,
never mind.
Hey, didn't you read the can? You got to read the can.
No, the FlexSeal can. Well, it might as well be a novel.
So small.
Is it one of the things where I've gotten to a point now, like if I'm dealing with like serial numbers and stuff, I take a picture with my phone and then blow it up because I can't, not even with my readers, I can't even read it anymore.
So my readers. It's like a 90-year-old man. My readers.
I have it here. To usually dry to touch, it's got to be 2 to 3 hours, and to fully cure, 24 hours.
There's Rob's readers.
My readers.
Right there. 24 Rob, hours?
Like I Ben
was in
Franklin.
The water. I put the dinghy in the water, so I can't do that.
So 24 hours. And then the tape, I remember putting it on before a big storm and creating what was the seal that I needed for the...
Is the tape pliable? Will it mold?
It will. And so I use it for where the coaxial goes down into the building where I think the water was getting in down the downspout. Okay. So I just covered that whole area with the FlexSeal tape.
I'll pick up some tape today and I'll just take it out on the
tape. Not cheap.
Doesn't the tape sort of have almost like a foil feel? It's not like gaffer's tape. It has like a real thin feel, but it's super adhesive,
right? It does what it's supposed to do. And, Mike, if you remember...
It does what it's supposed to do.
I fixed my roof with FlexSeal, a temporary fix.
Call FlexSeal. You know they probably got their own in-house ad
people. Somebody,
get them on the air.
Come on.
And I'll take it to my dinghy. I will take the FlexSeal to my dinghy. We have to take a break.
The roofer saying, did you put FlexSeal on your roof? I said, yes, I did. It worked for about 3 months.
What did he say?
He said it worked. He goes, you don't have enough FlexSeal for the entire roof. He goes, you have 3 other leaks. This is before they replaced it.
Hey, you did what you had to do,
I did
right?
What I had to do. Don't judge me.
Did you happen to tell that jerky roofer guy that you made, that the guy that invented FlexSeal made a boat out of it?
That's right. And sailed among sharks.
We'll take a break. I will tell you about a wildlife incident from earlier this morning.
Oh, good.
It has, I just was informed, has been resolved. We'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
There he is.
Oh, so you always dreamt about talking to the boys of the Mike O'Mara Show. You know, a sit-down. A face-to-face. Well, now you can with the TMOS Talking Heads. It's a live video call with Mike, Rob, Oscar, and you. So email Rob with 2 B's at MikeOMaraShow.com. Tell him why you're worthy of being on the show, and you just might be one of the lucky ones to appear on the next TMOS Talking Heads segment.
Right.
Now let's get back to the Mike O'Mara Show, already in progress.
Do you put the opera in back of him?
I do. Right. You don't like opera
back
for
to
him?
The, what's that?
You don't like opera
no,
for him?
No,
I thought it was a good angle.
I was just curious about that. I wanted to know how it was all put together because I
believe that
so
was
much.
I believe that was Nessun Dorma.
That is Nessun Dorma.
Okay, thank
I
you.
Love that, and that was Luciano Pavarotti.
Yeah,
the late great. Welcome back. Now that we've cleared that up, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Are your family's memories trapped in old camcorder tapes or film reels? Do you have like a cardboard box up in your attic lying around that's got the pictures, got the video, in some cases film from a Super 8 camera? A lot of people have this stuff lying around, and you owe it to your family, if you care about them, to preserve it. If you've got boxes of this old stuff, there's a company that can help you with it and make it super easy. Organize it, digitize it. It's called Legacy Box. They have a super simple mail-in service to have all your stuff That's videotapes. That's still cameras. Still photos, rather. Mm-hmm. Camcorder tapes, film reels. They can do it all. They work with this. They know what they're doing. It's easy. You pack up all the stuff. You send it in. Legacy Box converts everything by hand, and then you enjoy for generations to come. Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer of home movies and photos and has helped over 850,000 families preserve their past, including the O'Maras, the Spiewaks, and the Santanas. I got old home videos put on a thumb drive. Fantastic quality and convenient. Get started future-proofing your memories today so you can gather the family and begin the trip down memory lane, or just to have it. Just to have it with you.
Preserve it. Preserve it.
LegacyBox.com/TMOS to get an incredible 40% off your first order. Buy today to take advantage of this exclusive offer and then send it in when you're ready. Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS and save 40% while supplies last. Yes, earlier today. Moments before airtime. Moments before airtime, I was informed by my wife. Oh my God, there's a bird in the house.
Oh my God.
Mrs. O'Mara was walking our Boston Terrier Winslow.
Yes.
And a stupid chickadee came flying in, and in the little sun porch area of the house, we have lots of windows.
Yes.
And of course, the chickadee is not able to fly back out the door.
Everybody's heard about the bird.
So loud.
Jesus. Sorry.
It was sad. Because there's a giant, I don't know what they call the windows that are like crescent shaped.
Oh, bay window?
It's not a bay window as much as it's
a crescent-shaped window.
It's a cathedral window.
It's a window above another window, sort of.
Yes, a window above another window. It's a big one. It's a big one,
And it's a great one.
And the bird.
Guess who got a bird in their house?
And it's a great one. Guess who went bird shopping today? We're doing a Lost in America thing. If you don't know the movie, you're not going to get it. Yeah, $2. For a chickadee, a great one. So anyway, you lost the chickadee egg. So here it is.
I'm speaking very conservatively here. $2 for a chickadee.
I'm trying to get my brother-in-law to watch Lost in America, the old movie that still holds up, where they drop out of society and then she loses all their money.
Yes.
Very funny. So as soon as Carla says that to me, I'm upstairs in the loft. And the loft, which always manages to stay a cool, comfortable 89 degrees, no matter what the weather is outside.
Yeah, isn't it like Luray Caverns? It's just always one temperature.
It's the same temperature, and now consistently smells like a Winslow fart all the time. happy, going crazy, cabin fever, hey, baby. So she says this to me. I immediately go into the bathroom and grab a towel, because my method of securing a bird is to throw a towel on it. And this bird's having none of it.
Of course not.
We have a cheap little recliner cloth chair where this room is. We've jammed a TV in there in our little tiny house, and it rocks back and forth. I'm not skilled to get there. I said, can you get on that chair and throw the towel on the bird? So Carla is trying to place the towel.
Yeah.
I said, no. You're not going to be able to place.
You won't catch it.
The bird's not going to go, here, put that over my head so I can't see.
How big of a towel is it? Is it like a bath towel?
Okay. It's a bath towel.
Okay, so
and
pretty big.
I said, do it. So Carla attempts. I said, no, Carla, you have to toss it. And as she tries to toss it, she loses her balance. And my wife, who is extremely physically fit, is going down. She is going down, and she's coming right towards me. And then, of course, whose fault is it? It's me, because I was being impatient. I said, I wasn't being impatient. I was trying to get you the bird. So we just leave the door open for the bird to escape. And I come up and start doing the show. Halfway through the show, she informs me the bird, you know, the idiot bird, decided that it would stop banging its little bird brain up against the window and fly out the door. It literally was going. Wow. It was horrible.
Yeah,
I hate
it's
to say
scary.
It.
It's scary.
I'm sitting there and I'm watching this, and the bird's going. The bird's going, I'm panicking. I flew into a door, and I just was enjoying my freedom in Maine. Oh, my God. It's not bad enough I have to worry about eagles and ospreys and all these things, but I just was looking for seed. I was looking for seeds, but I can't. This man's throwing this. I can't get out. Oh my God!
And it finally flew out the door.
Mike, you have two dogs. How are they handling the fact that there's a bird in your house?
We removed them from. That's their room. That's the room. Another room that smells great. That's where the dogs hang out. Where all day long for 24 hours a day, the dogs go. Two tiny little dogs that sound like this. All day long doing this. And then the bird flew out, so it's a success. I think the bird might be brain damaged, but it doesn't matter because there's not that much brain anyway.
What about? No, you're right. You're right.
What about the cat?
The cat has been named. We have decided on a name for the cat. Thank you for your submissions. The leader was Buzz. I wasn't going to name the cat Buzz, but thank you for that. And Mike Elston and RJ Diaz. For some reason, the cat was named.
And, this is my cat, and his favorite flavor of ice cream is vanilla.
Vanilla cat. This cat, I really love to name things, as you know. I love nicknames. I love giving people nicknames. I racked my brain. I did the old thing I did with Winslow. I looked up famous Mainers, people from the state of Maine. Oh, man. That's a very, very unrewarding task. There aren't a lot of people up here.
Unrewarding.
I'm serious.
Well, boy or girl, we never found
it's
out.
It's a boy. Yeah. Okay, it's a boy. Okay, a lot of people didn't know that. So there were a lot of female names, too. All right.
Tina would have been nice.
What's that?
Tina? Well, you could go Tino.
Oh, you could have called. Oh, you can still can. Yo-ho.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
This is my cat, Timber.
Boy.
He's a lumberjack.
Timber would be great.
Timber is a good cat name. Timber.
Timber.
Because when you call Timber!
Timber!
There are so few people that are famous from Maine. You know? I mean, these are names
it's
I don't
really
even know.
It's really a lame state. I've always
you know what you see? No. You ask for a famous Maine, you get a lot of pictures of Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah.
Okay.
McDreamy, he's A-lister.
McDreamy.
This is my cat, Dempsey.
Yeah. I got Patrick Dempsey and Anna Kendrick.
Both great.
Anna Kendrick, A-lister.
But we're talking about two people.
Really, I mean, scientifically, 1/50th of all celebrities should come
King
from Maine.
I thought Stephen King was from Maine.
The famous author is he's a known Mainer, which is great. But, I mean, everybody should have an author. The three that I really discerned, most famous entertainment people from Maine.
Showbiz.
Patrick Dempsey. Anna Kendrick, and Judd Nelson.
Judd Nelson.
Well, in the 80s,
you have to admit he had
top three.
He had a great year in 1986. He really did.
This is what I should know more about it. And I'm sorry for being so ignorant. The idea that Maine is a beautiful state.
It's gorgeous.
It's a gorgeous place to live.
Spectacular up here. Wonderful.
The problem I have is why is the population fleeing Maine, and why do they have a bill in place where if you go to Maine, they'll give you, what is it, $10,000 in tax incentives
just
to move
there?
They've
lost their industry. They've lost industry up here. There's not jobs up here. What's that?
What was the industry?
Well, you had paper mills.
Pine.
You had paper mills and sawmills. That type of thing was a big deal in Maine. But I mean, it's
LL Bean.
Tourism can't sustain. LL Bean, a wonderful company up here. I'm trying to think of. It might be Vic Firth, the drumstick maker that was up here. They may still be. They make
Mike. You missed two Maine celebrities that I'm surprised did not pop up on your search that are both red hot today. Linda Lavin. And John O'Hurley.
Yeah, John O'Hurley. That when I saw John O'Hurley, you know, hello, Elaine. Hello, I'm John O'Hurley. Welcome to the dog show. That's what he does now. It's really.
Mike, you're right, though. It brought up 10 celebrities, and I went down to like click for more. And the only option it gives me is show less.
Yeah.
So there's nobody.
I was stunned.
Yeah, nobody.
That few people. It's basically the population, I think it is, as far as the arts and literature. You got your Stephen King.
Yeah.
You got Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. I want you to see about my Longfellow. Andrew Wyeth, the painter, E.B. White. You know, there's some famous people. But really, by and large. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have the name of the cat.
Yes.
And I hope you enjoy.
You named it. Does the family approve it? Were they into
Carla
it?
And I did, basically. That's what
okay,
we did.
And Michael is okay with
not,
it?
I am not proud of this, this name, but the name of our baby cat that we visited with a little bit yesterday.
Yes.
Would be Earl.
Oh, God.
Earl. Earl the cat.
No, Earl Grey T. Because the cat is completely gray.
Gray.
So it's
does everything it's have to Earl, be about food for you? Like, come
Earl,
on.
It's not food. It's tea. Earl Grey O'Mara.
Hey, Oscar, it's not
it
food.
Too.
It's tea.
I hate it, too.
You're not going to register anything. You didn't register it.
I came up with it. It said Earl Grey.
No, go with Timber.
And yeah, I didn't want to go with Smokey because we had a family cat named Smokey who was also gray.
Hey, man.
And gray synonyms are hard to find.
You need to clean out my litter box.
Here it is, man. Yeah, so right now it's Earl. All right, it's subject to change.
Please.
We don't take delivery on the cat until like 4 weeks
Earl,
anyway.
Earl.
Because this cat is still on the teat.
How about Cameron? Cameron Gray.
There you go.
Cameron.
Cameron the cat.
Yes.
Cameron the cat's pretty good. That's
yeah,
pretty good,
that's
Rob.
Really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Cameron Gray.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
also, you know, it's during that period of time where
I understand,
yeah, but no one else needs to know that. But Cameron,
that's John Pop and Liddy and all that crap. So
John Pop's labor saving cart.
And I'm not gonna name him after somebody that went to work at the NRA. Anyway, can't happen. Sorry, just can't let that happen. All right, they look. Your career takes you where it takes you. I'm not gonna blame those guys.
Okay, I wonder that's who are it. Other famous people named Gray. We have Earl. Earl Grey, of
Jennifer
course.
Jennifer Grey.
Jennifer Grey, but that's a yep. Jennifer is technically a girl's name.
Oh, you could do this, Mike. You can make a name that's for a girl work for a guy.
How about Jennifer, Zane Grey? Zane Grey.
Zane is a great
Zane,
name.
Yeah.
Zane the cat. Yeah.
Zane Grey.
Grey Gardens.
Zane might be there. All right. Yeah. See, I've already made more progress with you guys than I did in the car driving back from Ellsworth the other day.
That's right.
Now we got to take a break. So,
Grey Gardens. This is the best litter box.
Grey Gardens. Edie would have been a great. It was a female
Edie.
Cat. Edie would have been the name.
Yes.
Edie would have been the name of the cat.
Gender neutral. Who knows what the cat identifies
Eddie.
As?
Eddie cat. Might be the name. Eddie cat.
Oh, Eddie.
Where's Eddie? He was here a minute ago. We'll take a break. Come back with more right here on the Michael Miller Show.
Say you were inspired by the promo of Matty Masiello rambling off delicious cheeses, and now you want to grill cheese yourself, but you also want to help out TMOS. Let me show you how you do it. First, go to MichaelMerrishow.com and click on the button that says TMOS Shopping Center. Then click on Target. They got everything you need for this project. Bread, butter, all kinds of cheese. Swiss, mozz, provolone, whatever you want. Say you need a new frying pan or a spatula. They got it. Say you live in a Georgetown Spite House and you need a new hot plate. They got that too. Because you're fat, let's throw in a bag of Kraft Baby marshmallows. Now let me tell you, I got a Target Red Card, so they're kicking some money back to me. But more importantly, since you went to the TMOS Shopping Center, they're kicking some money back to Mike. Got it? Good. Now let's go back to the guy who would adopt the Target dog if he could, Mike O'Mara.
What? Okay. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone. Mortgage rates. Let's talk about them. If you currently have a 3.25% mortgage or higher, you need to call my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial. You need to do it today. And there's urgency to this message because it is the right thing to do. Right now, 90% of homeowners have rates higher than the average going interest rate. You want to save money, it's as simple as that. Cornerstone First Financial's rates are so low that they've actually become a disruptor in the industry. Because
so
their
cool.
rates, service, and programs are unparalleled. Their low rate guarantee and the fact that they are both a lender and a broker allows them to have flexibility to approve loans that the big banks can't. Interest rates on the 30-year fixed have fallen into the twos for the first time ever. You need to call my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial now. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or online at cornerstonefirst.com. Think of this. At this level, you'll likely never need to refi again. Whether it's a purchase or a refi, here's the number, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing, a great company that saved people a ton of money, and
yes.
they literally are in our building in Washington, D.C. They are a business that exists in the same building we have. We love the fact that we've been doing business with them so long.
Love that,
and
sir.
That we've had so many success stories with our listeners getting involved with that. I think that's fantastic. I like the name for the cat, Zane, right
Zane
now.
Zane is
right
great.
Now, Zane Grey, but yeah, I did like blue. He's blue gray. The cat is so gray. It's gray from head to toe, and it has brilliant sapphire blue eyes.
Will they stay that color?
That's what somebody said. They might not stay.
What
that
about
color.
Sinatra?
Sinatra?
Yeah, blue
Frank?
Eyes. Yeah,
old
Frank.
Blue eyes.
Frank. Well, we have a Frank. We have a Frank. You don't want to have a Frankie and a Sinatra.
Oh, but Frank. Yeah, Frankie's. What do we got? What's the time table there?
I don't know. Frankie plays with the new puppy very, very nicely.
Oh, that's sweet.
Listen, I want to get this on. Hooray for Loudoun County Schools, where Rob's kid goes, because they defied, I guess, conventional governmental influence from the national level and went with all virtual for the opening of the school year, correct?
I applaud the decision, which came down, I believe, Monday or Tuesday of this week, but I don't applaud the way they handled it because they gave us a 3 to 4 week run-up where we were allowed to choose for our students, stay at home, or 2 days a week mixed learning, okay? Where they would actually go into school 2 days a week. And it was a big deal, not such a big deal in our house because Robert drives to school. You know, we don't need to provide daycare for him or anything if he were to stay home. He's very strong. Daycare. And he's a self-functioning, nearly
daycare.
But what I'm talking about is the parents that have kids in kindergarten and first grade. If they're going back to work in the fall,
yeah,
school is their daycare, and so they need to make arrangements.
What did you pick for your kid,
Robert? We talked a lot, and he said that he felt that he wouldn't be able to maintain the amount of focus and dedication to do total at-home learning, so he had opted for 2 days a week. That was his option. And we were forced to put in our, I think the timeline was this. We had to get our decision in on Friday. That was the deadline. And then it was verified on Sunday. And then Tuesday is when they said, nope, all at home. Nobody's coming in
the
fall.
So you're not for this. You sound like you've got a problem with this.
No. I'm against the fact that they didn't do this originally.
Well, it's not easy, Rob. It's hard. It's a hard call to make, you know?
I understand.
A lot of stakeholders.
I understand, but I feel bad for the people that made arrangements thinking that were going to... I mean, it's just...
I think this is erring on the side of caution. I think it's ballsy. I don't think anybody has their S
Montgomery
together
County, regarding all virtual.
But Montgomery County, Fairfax County, correct? Virtual.
All virtual.
I think you're misunderstanding me.
I think you're misunderstanding me. I agree with the decision, and I think this should have been the decision all along. What I don't like is the fact that they made a stone-cold decision, and they said, you've got to verify and sign off and make your decision now, and then change it.
I think you're focusing on the wrong thing. Think about it this way, and I got to be honest with you. And I can speak for what our experience is in the city.
Okay.
The idea that the majority of the workforce will come back in September, just overall, it's not realistic.
Oh, so, I know this.
And I know that there are outliers, especially if you have a certain type of job that will allow you to work from home or you have to come in. There are always people that won't get the same treatment all around. But for you, you get to stay. I'll see you in 2021. Bottom line.
Right.
And then for...
I really believe that. That's the side that I'm on with this, where, it might be a little bit of an inconvenience that they didn't do it the right way. But at the same time, when you got... I would just die for what you got in Florida.
And I do love us around
and they're going to make these teachers go back in and they're putting people... And teachers are suing the governor and then they're saying, well, now we may delay till August 27th. It's like, August 27th?
That's not going to fix it.
You still don't get it.
Yeah.
We have not controlled the pandemic. And they said, well, kids have a very... It's not the kids, you morons.
They don't get it.
It's grandma and grandpa. Yeah.
Or their teachers.
In my case,
and the
daddy.
Teachers. Yeah. And also, I've seen it online a dozen times, but it merits repeating. If Loudoun County can't control head lice, how are they going to control COVID? Because they're just not, the teachers are not qualified to do it, nor should they be. And I want to clarify my statement. I'm pleased. I'm delighted that they made the gutsy decision. It's the right thing to do. I just wish they had done it sooner. That's valid.
That's completely valid. And I think that there are school systems right now. And by the way, I am very fortunate. I work from home. My wife works from home. We're very, very fortunate that that's the case. And I understand the parents that, but Oscar said something along the line, You have to approach the reality of the situation.
As an employer,
we blew it. People.
As an employer, if I got a call from any of our team members, said, "Look, you probably just heard school is going to be all virtual. I got to stay home, make sure like my kid goes to school and gets all that done, and we can do this at this job." I would imagine that
you have to do it.
You would expect people to be like, "No problem, we'll figure this out."
You have to do it.
Do what you got
to
do.
You have to do it. And I wish that for the teachers' sake in particular, I wish they do it more around the country. And by the way, we still don't get it in this country. We don't get it.
We don't.
We don't get it. And it's not everybody's fault. All right. But the fact is that school systems that are doing this, I am praying for a domino effect. Because when you're in areas that don't have it as bad as we do down in Florida and they're doing it up here, I wish they would do it everywhere. I hope this has a snowball effect and that these teachers don't have to spend a sleepless night realizing they might be exposing themselves. By the way, it's not the kids. No, the transmission levels, that's statistics. We know that. The data proves that. That doesn't matter. We got it. Let's get this thing wrapped up. There's a vaccine coming at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Why are you going to be popping for the chance of more people dying?
Yeah.
Because we're just stupid. And there's a great stupid story coming up in news you may not need that you're going to truly believe. It'll crystallize it for you. It'll be safer for what they're doing.
I think you are going to see a little bit of a domino effect here because it happened in the DC area very quickly. Fairfax led, I think Loudoun followed by like 3 hours, then Montgomery County, I think Prince William as well. And so if it starts to spread, the wisdom that it can be done and it should be done, maybe they'll see the light of day.
Maybe Virginia will be a trailblazer for education in the country. I hope they are.
Always has been, Mike.
You know, yeah, absolutely. And by the way, Todd Moore says this is the right thing to do. We'll take a break and we will come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Meara Show. Well, bye.
All right. Do you listen to podcasts? Do you like to hear virtual voices through the magic of electronic reproduction? How would you like to hear your voice on a podcast? Now you can. Just submit a promo to the Mike O'Meara Show. If you cut the mustard, you can rub audio shoulders with all the promo greats. James Amato, Paul Christine, even that guy. It's as easy as falling off a log. Just follow this simple procedure. 1. Select a TMOS topic that you want to promote and then record yourself promoting it. 2. Send your promo as an MP3 to rob@mikeomerashow.com. And if it airs, you can be a star. Can fabulous wealth be far behind? You better hurry. We look forward to hearing from you. Here's to showbiz.
You say teal. Teal.
Hey, you, everybody. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Here at TMOS, we're givers. It's true.
It is givers.
Isn't that what you like, Bunky? Not to pat ourselves on the back, but it's truly one of the things that bonds me, Oscar, and Rob. We don't like to ask for things. It doesn't make us smile, but the fact is we need your help, and here's how you can do it. It's the TMOS Patron Society. We need you to go to MikeOMeraShow.com and click the Patron Society banner to make a pledge to TMOS to make up for our shortfalls in other areas with the COVID pandemic happening right now. Doesn't matter. $1, $10, $5 a week, doesn't matter. TMOS needs you, and you can make a difference. If you're there for us, we want to be here for you. If you can contribute, please do. We need your help. Support means the world to us now more than ever. We appreciate you, and we thank you.
News.
Nuzz.
All right, I'm going to give you what I'm going to do here is I'm going to give you the stories that don't matter, and then there will be an interesting story that I think demonstrates, how we feel about stuff in this
All
country.
Right. I like
these
that.
Are what people. These are things people are really caring about in the United States that I particularly don't. The first one's about Netflix. That doesn't have anything to do with it. You're staying at home. They say you only use 10% of your brain, which seems like a huge waste. So how do you feel about the fact that you're using even less on Netflix? According to a new report, the average subscriber consumes only 2% of Netflix's library each year. Netflix has close to 5,500 titles, and if you want to watch them, it would take 4 years, 2 months, and 8 days.
I'm working on it.
We've all, surfed through Netflix trying to find. That's, by the way, if you binge nonstop, you'd also be paying at least $660 in subscriber fees over that amount of time, which if you get some great entertainment, I think that's fantastic.
That new movie from Charlize Theron, I think it's straight to Netflix, pretty good.
Really? Not bad. Pretty Did you good. Look at that one?
I watched it over two nights, and for a Netflix film, action, murder, great premise, not bad.
By the way, if anyone can tell me
Old Guard,
how it's called. How I can get an app without hooking up an Apple TV to my Vizio, is there, I think there's some proprietary stuff where I don't get me no Apple on my Vizio, and it's driving me nuts, and they got everything. They got Prime, they got Netflix, they got Hulu, they got all these different Chipwich, whatever the hell is on there this
delicious.
Week. But I will tell you this, that I can't get me Apple TV, and my kid wants to watch that submarine movie, and I got to watch it first to see if it's too violent for him.
What submarine movie?
Excuse me. Anyway, what's that? Did you watch it?
What submarine movie?
It's a Tom Hanks submarine movie.
Oh, it went on
U-boats.
Oh, it went straight to VOD?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's not going to be in theaters. There you go. NFL Vice President of Communications Brian McCarthy tweeted this news yesterday. Quote, "For those wondering, this will be league-wide. Fans at NFL games this season will be required to wear face coverings."
Yeah, that's given. I don't see how else. Whoa, I'm so happy you brought this up. The NBA finally showed the world what the games are going to look like.
Oh, in the bubble?
In the bubble. And let me tell you, these guys do it. Like, and you could tell they're at Disney World because it looks awesome. So where the crowd would usually be, they have a full-length floor-to-ceiling video wall with graphics.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And then they have, like, on the soccer field, or the pitch, as you would call it, they have these LED boards on the sides of the court that have all the advertisements that are going around. It looks futuristic. Like, you're watching future of NBA.
So do you feel it could advance it?
Yes.
Mike, I understand at the NFL that the face masks are required, but when Joe Theismann calls a game, it's a single-bar face mask.
He used to have that. Some fans, as you might know, because they're Americans, some fans are raising hell over the face mask. Not all teams are even allowing fans in the stadiums, though. Yeah. They haven't determined that with the NFL. But the Atlanta Falcons are. They just announced that they will sell between 10,000 and 20,000 tickets for home games.
They made that same announcement 2 years ago.
The Ravens are doing if I read this correctly, almost a lottery, like where you do on off, on even, depending on the season ticket holders.
Right.
Mine ends in two. What's that?
What is social distancing? I don't know.
I'm driving down Atlanta to see them Falcons play. I know that.
I'm just getting me a purple bandana. Going to wear it right over my mug. What do you mean I have to cover my nose? What do you mean I have to put it over my nose? I thought it was just your mouth. Oh, that's right. Earl told me to breathe through both of them. Okay, I get that. But anyway.
Doris,
so we'll
what's
see.
An even number? What's an even number, Doris?
Baseball is back today. Did you know that? Baseball
is tonight.
Yankees at Nats Park tonight.
Pumped in crowd noise that you control virtually from home. That, who knows? We'll see. Some people are excited to try it out, but this is a fun idea. Or is it overkill? Buffalo Wild Wings has hired actual beer vendors from Major League Stadiums to walk around its restaurants.
All this stuff
is like, we're just toddlers. We're just children.
Tonight,
we have the mind. We are. Is anybody getting the fact that we are an intellectual laughingstock, really, when we say the stuff we care about?
Let's focus on what tonight is going to be special. I got 60 games. It's a weird season. I get it.
Right.
But to see the Nationals and the Yankees, I'm going to look in just to see what it looks like.
That's valid.
Yeah.
That's completely valid.
Dr. Fauci's throwing out the first pitch tonight, and they're raising the championship banner tonight. And I saw in the news this morning that their online merchandise store is open, and they wanted everyone to know that.
Thank you. Buffalo Wild Wings might be, it says here they've also hired the Washington Nationals organist, but it's not clear if he's playing live.
Oh, boy. Oh, what if he's not playing live?
By the way, they're still following social distancing rules at Buffalo Wild Wings. Good luck, folks. Roll in. Roll into the indoor restaurant. Mm. Breathe the air. Mm. Go ahead, you dopes. Jesus Christ. All right,
I'd like to stay 3 miles away from Buffalo Wild Wings. That's my social distance.
There's this picture. I looked at this picture today. Okay. Niagara Falls at the Canadian border. A photo has emerged on social media with two boats. Two boats that tell two very different stories.
Two!
Aboard the Maid of the Mist from the American side.
Legendary.
Passengers in blue ponchos appear crammed to filling the top deck and wrap around the lower level. The boat is packed as it sails on the American side of Niagara Falls. The passing Canadian-run boat, the Hornblower, is all but empty, with just a handful of people wrapped in red, huddled in pairs on the railing. Images of the boats cruising past each other below the iconic landmark have caused discussions to swell on social media, with many suggesting the stark contrast in passengers is symbolic of the difference in the Canadian and American approaches to COVID-19. Mm. You mean the correct approach and the incorrect approach?
That's pretty much it.
You just can't do it. You can't do it. I don't know where it comes from. I don't get it.
Maybe.
I really don't get it.
Why would you take a boat on? I don't know enough about Niagara Falls.
You go up to the falls. The boat, you cover yourself with a raincoat.
Maddie, didn't you work there?
I did, yes. The worst summer of my life.
Gift shop,
Maddie,
right?
You know what I'm talking about. They throw these fake cheap little raincoats on people, and they send them up to the falls, and they get extra close so they can get the mist and experience the Niagara Falls.
Oh, so it's sightseeing to see the
falls. Actually, it is a good experience. Okay. I would recommend it.
All right. Yeah, it's sightseeing boats, Niagara Falls, spectacular landmark, but it's not time to get on a boat crammed with people,
what if we got someone at the top of the falls to get like a big barrel of like Dial soap, and he pours it in, so there is the mist is actually antibacterial mist, and instead of them getting sick, it's curing them.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Big barrel.
And washing hands. We're washing our hands an average of 8 times a day, up from 5 before the virus hit, and we wash for an average of 19 seconds, up from 13. Almost 1 in 8 people still don't always wash their hands after using the bathroom. The ratio of people on the Maid of the Mist boat is 10 out of 8. That don't.
It's an improper fraction.
That don't. That don't wash their hands. Thank you. And now a little something something. A 25-year-old guy from Long Island was waiting to be sentenced after he was found guilty of driving a stolen Lexus and trying to steal a truck. And to avoid jail, he decided to fake his own death. He got his fiance to feed his lawyer a fake death certificate that said he'd killed himself. And it looked so real, the lawyer submitted it. But there was a part of the bottom that said it was issued by New Jersey's Office of Vital Statistics and Registry. And he spelled the word registry wrong. He accidentally put the S before the I.
Oh.
So that would be the registry or something like that.
Yes,
The registry. So someone realized it was fake. You know, the person that finds that, probably some clerical person.
Exactly.
This doesn't look right.
Yeah.
Cops tracked him down. Turned out he'd fled the state, and he had been arrested in Philadelphia for theft and for giving cops a fake name. So he was already in jail, this guy. He just can't win. I want to go to Niagara Falls. Get on that boat.
Get on a boat.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Also, who accepts a fake death certificate? Like, I feel like...
Well, when I faked my death in 1987, you know, it was...
Well, remember my cousin, David Arlington.
Yes. Ron's cousin did it.
Mm-hmm. Now he's facing those charges, his original charges, plus up to 4 more years in prison for the death certificate stunt. He's due back in court next Wednesday, and like I always say, if you are a convicted felon, use autocorrect. Please.
So true.
Please.
Very least you can do.
Now, if they let you out on your own cognizance, maybe you can go see the falls. Maddie Masiello says it's a treat. It's
highly recommended.
He actually printed up a fake ticket to get in free for Niagara Falls.
We'll take a break. Come back with the audio vault right here on the Mike O'Meara Show. King's Things. And now, here's Larry.
I don't think Good Friday is all that great. Why does my birth certificate have an expiration date? I still subscribe to Boys Life. Some of the worst mistakes I've made have been marriages. I'm wearing pasties. My other car is a hearse. The internet's pretty big, boy. I like the TMOS Shopping Center. Unbeatable. Access them through the MikeOMarishow.com.
Hi, Larry. Thank you.
I think Larry really would say, boy, that internet's pretty big.
Big boy. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. Here's a helpful coronavirus hint. If you need produce from your green grocer and you can't open the complimentary plastic bag because licking our fingers is not okay.
That is so true.
Hey, there's something that needs to be fixed. We all do it.
Yeah.
Get some condensation on your fingers from the runoff of some recently sprayed greens.
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da! Problem solved. Why do I think you did this? Because you were in the grocery store yourself and you wanted to figure out.
No, actually, I saw someone post it. I said, that's actually quite brilliant.
It really is. Or buy candy bars instead.
I wrote
that. No bag needed. Better yet, try the TMOS bonus show. It comes prepackaged, delicious, and funny as hell. Everyone loves the TMOS bonus show, and we love doing it. Commercials, no commercials, no censorship, no problem. It only costs pennies a laugh. It comes to you fresh from farm to table. That's funny. Just click the banner at MikeOMarisShow.com. Also, there are nearly 500 other commercial-free, uncensored bonus shows available to you for just a meager pittance, and a subscription just might cure your weak sex drive.
Ooh.
It's your passport to the Asport.
Asport.
Copyright 2020. I'm Mike O'Mara. I guarantee it. And now back to Have Gun, Will Travel. Already in progress. Have Gun, Will Travel.
Will Travel is a mark of a man. Paladin.
All right. Thank you. Let's open up the audio vault for today. This is Thursday, July 23rd. July 23rd.
Mm-hmm. I stole this from your share on Facebook. I loved it. It's a guy on TikTok. He's a serviceman. His name is Timmy Burns. Mm. And he did a rave out about wearing a mask. And he's in his uniform. He's obviously in the military. He is quite passionate.
Wear a mask. But it's hard to breathe. Have you ever had to wear this f***ing noose? Notice how you can't really understand me? I have to do this to be able to f***ing talk in this thing. You're gonna be fine. Stop being a little beta bitch. And to you other geniuses who are like, this is America. I have the freedom not to wear a mask. It's called a dress code, Kevin. The 7-Eleven also requires you to wear a shirt. So I have to explain to the kid I'm babysitting why crackhead looking Santa has bigger titties than his ma. I've been overseas for 2.5 years in Japan, not anywhere f***ing dangerous. I'm a pogue. And I finally get back to America just in time for it to shut down, and you idiots are making it shut down longer. It's a piece of cloth.
Beautiful.
It's really
beautiful.
Well done.
Smart young guy. It's exactly how a lot of people feel. Come on, you idiots. And by the way, Bar Harbor, Maine, salute to Bar Harbor, Maine, where I could not find anyone.
Yeah.
On the street, not wearing a mask. I was on the street in the open air, had mine down around my neck, put it on because I wanted to respect the people that were also doing
that's
that.
That's great.
Walking the streets. That's it. Doesn't take much people. They're estimating if everybody did it, that we could save 35,000 lives.
We would live, and this is, I think, a takeaway. Look, the lives saved are important.
Yep.
But the quality of life we would all live would be better.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
it just would be better.
Amazing.
Gotta do it. Gotta do it. Listen to this, Mike. This has been called one of the holy grails of rock and roll. Some people doubted its existence. In September, the Rolling Stones are doing a big re-release of their album, Goat's Head Soup. Not one of their better albums, but there's a song called Scarlet, and playing lead guitar on this is Jimmy Page with the Rolling Stones. And the thing that makes me laugh about it is in the press release explaining how the song happened. I printed it out so I get it right. It's, quote, Keith believes that Jimmy Page walked into the recording studio as Zeppelin was wrapping up. I'm sorry. Keith believes that he walked into the studio as Zeppelin was wrapping up. The Stones were booked next. So Keith believes that's how it happened, but he doesn't remember. That's his best recollection of how the fact that the lead guitarist for Zeppelin did a track with the Stones. This was a demo. They were just messing around, and it's not bad.
That's cool.
Song is called Scarlet, and you can grab that when the album drops on September 4th. Let's see. Oh, elk, Mike. You had bird in your house. You had a tiger. What was it?
A coy wolf.
A coy wolf. You've never encountered elk. Now, elk are big and stately, and they're all over Colorado.
They have their own lodges across the country.
They do.
Yes.
Where they
a lot
serve
of Trump
elk.
Supporters in those lodges.
They serve cheap alcohol there. In Colorado, traffic stopped because of an elk stampede, but I never thought elk would sound like this.
They squeak.
Yes!
Yeah.
Sounds like birds.
Oh, that's terrifying. Oh, no.
Yeah, they squeak.
I'd run. I'd run the other way.
Oh, they are big-ass critters. That's a bright comment, isn't it?
They're
big-ass critters. Hey, critter. Yeah, nice. Yeah, nice
to fix
them. And I took the fight out of them.
And right in the middle of that stampede was Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin.
Oh, and let's, by the way, I want to book my sister to come on the show and talk about her mysterious, magical...
I want to hear it.
You know, mirage that she saw.
The critter? Did you see that this week, in one day, Jeff Bezos made $13 billion? In one day, he made...
Oh, good for him. He needed it.
Mm-hmm. I know. And so that's a good shot in the arm for him.
Amazon founder Jeff Bezos made $13 billion in one day. Yeah. Unfortunately, most of that money was stolen off his porch.
So he better get himself a Ring doorbell. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a good Thursday, everybody.
Man, 13, is that billion with a B?
B.
With a B,
B.
Yes.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Well, that divorce took it out of him. He has a regroup.
Yeah, he's
regroup.
Completely regroup. Yeah,
he put you it in covalent bonds.
You think he gets some space age fake hair? We got to get out of here tomorrow.
He does look like Lex Luthor now.
Tomorrow on the show.
Luthor.
We didn't get to it today. I want to find out what the deal is with those Virginia slot machines.
Mike,
because somehow it's important to me. Skill machines. We also will have a very serious medical discussion with Oscar Santana
on
tomorrow's program that you might want to tune in for. And what was the last thing I wanted to tell you about? We want to really take a serious look at I'll Be Gone in the Dark, the Patton Oswalt documentary about his wife, Michelle McNamara. So lots of stuff coming up on tomorrow's show. And we also have
the Talking Head tomorrow.
Oh, the Talking Head.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
And I have to come up with my special question for the
Exactly.
Talking Head. Mm-hmm. I think I already have it anyway. Don't worry about it.
I thought so.
We'll be fine. We'll see you tomorrow for Oscar and Rob. Oh, I want to read my my new closing.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Perfect. Get ready.
Maybe I'll read it like a 1950s announcer.
Let's do it.
I'd love that.
Let's do it.
Thanks for joining us for another perfect episode of TMOS. Don't forget, we are dying to hear from you. Messages for the weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with 2 B's at MichaelMerrisShow.com. Our mailing address is TMOS Post Office Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. Need assistance? Tony Boy at MichaelMerrisShow.com. You spelled it without the A. That's right. MichaelMerrisShow.com. You are drinking, Rob Spiewak.
I do that a lot.
If you could lend your support, please click our Patron Society banner at MichaelMerrisShow.com. It means more than you know. Thank you for listening. And join us again next time for the best part of your day, the Michael Mera Show. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Michael Mera saying so long, everybody.
Vaya con Dios.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MichaelMerrisShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Michael Mera, Radio Entertainment.
Now get home safely. Good night.
It's been a good day. My God, what a good day for mankind.
So we're running out of wax. So, and tape, all that jazz. Let's say goodbye, shall we?
Bye-bye.